Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The opinions represented during this show may not necessarily represent those of KRMG or Cox Media Group.
Your host is Dan Witham, a financial advisor with offices at 8516 East 101st Street, Suite C in Tulsa. His office phone number is 918-398-8387. Dan is a branch manager with and securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA SIPC. Now here's Money Talk on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG.
And good Sunday morning, everybody. My name's Russell Mills, and this is Money Talk. We are live and local in the KRMG studios with Mr. Dan Witham and Mr. Steve Money. If you've got questions for the guys this morning, you can text us at 95920. And every week, Dan gives away free books. What do we got going this week?
That's right. We have a great book this week, Russell. It's called The Little Book of Big Dividends, A Safe Formula for Guaranteed Returns. I like the idea of this book very much. In this book, Chuck Carlson presents an action plan for dividend-hungry investors. And Steve, I get calls all the time for dividend stocks. People always want to buy dividend stocks. And this is the book that they probably might want to look at.
Well, a lot of people, as you well know, look for those dividends for their monthly income.
That's right.
And it's very important.
And, you know, I found a lot of companies. I looked through the S&P 500 the other day, and there's about 50 companies that actually grow their dividends at 20% or more per year, which is pretty fast. That's a pretty fast rate of growth. And so this is one of the books that you could read to learn how to find those stocks like that. And I was impressed when I saw that, because I didn't think anybody grew their dividends at 20% a year. That's just a radical, very aggressive dividend payout. And that's, it costs money to the company, of course, out of profits to do that. Dividends usually come from profits. Not always, but normally they do.
But let me ask you this for the... Yes, sir. Corporations don't pay their fair share of taxes. From whence do those taxes come from?
The owners of the corporation.
Which means their dividends go down.
If the corporate taxes go up, yes, you're correct. The dividends that they could receive go down. Yes.
So you have to remember, corporations never pay taxes. Never, ever do they pay taxes. All they do is collect taxes. And they collect it either from the consumer of the end product, or they collect it from the owners, and in this case, it could be a teacher's pension. So when the teachers get less, that's so the corporations can pay their fair share.
That's right. Russell, you look like you have something to say.
No, I was going to say, why don't you give them that phone number so they can get the free book?
I told you I was cranky today. Yeah, I don't know how this is going to go.
So if you want a copy of this great book, The Little Book of Big Dividends, we'll send you a copy of it absolutely free. Plus, we'll send you a special one-page questionnaire for you to fill out on a report we're going to talk about later in the show that we've never discussed on the show today. It is a stress test for your portfolio. It is a risk analysis that covers 120 different scenarios for your portfolio, like oil prices spiking, the economy going into a recession, the S&P tanking, all these different things happening. And it's a free report that we'll run for you. We send you a one-page questionnaire. You fill it out and send it back to us, and we'll get you the report for free. The number to call for all that is 918-398-8387. 918-398-8387. Just leave your name and your address when you get our voicemail, and we'll send you the book, The Little Book of Big Dividends, along with this one-page questionnaire for your free report.
So what's the questionnaire they would fill out to get the report that you're talking about?
It's
126 factors or whatever.
It's real tricky questions like, what's your name?
Okay.
And what are the positions you hold, and what percentages of your portfolio are they? Like, do you own XYZ stock? And what percent of your portfolio is it? Is it 5% or is it 20%? Because obviously that makes a difference in how your portfolio would respond. And we're going to talk about the report later in the show, but it covers a wide variety of scenarios, like a war with Korea, things like that are one of the examples that it shows you, a stress test of your portfolio. And the nice part of this report is it doesn't just show you what your portfolio will do, Steve. It shows you what each component of your portfolio will do. So you can see where the risk is, if it's in this position or that position, if it's in your John Deere stock or your oil stock or whatever it is. It shows how each one responds. And I ran this for a portfolio that I had, and one position dropped 1% in the portfolio, and another one dropped 67%. Whoa. So obviously they had different outcomes, you know, for the same, you know, event that would occur. Well, like, for example, if you have an oil price spike, it's going to affect oil stocks more than anything else, more than it would housing stocks. But if you have interest rates go up, that's going to affect housing stocks. And it looks at those different scenarios and tells you what the impact on your portfolio would be. And it also, we can help you show how to reduce your risk, you know, in those scenarios also.
Well, this sounds perilously close to making a plan.
Well,
you know, I mean, I don't know. Do we want to do that or not? Actually, have some discipline involved in what we do and plan for contingencies.
Well, and this goes back to, you know, what we've seen the last couple of weeks since the end of January, beginning of February. We saw the sudden shock to the market that people didn't anticipate and the experts didn't anticipate, and these things do happen. And so, one of the things that I want people to do is to be prepared to have the mindset to know what's going to happen to my portfolio. Because if you're plotting along and your portfolio is down 10%, let's say, when all this happened, and this plan told you your portfolio would drop 10%, you're probably not going to be overly concerned because you're thinking it's going according to what it should be doing. It's doing exactly what I thought it would do.
So you don't feel blindsided.
Right. And you're not as fearful because you have a little more knowledge, a little bit more idea of what's going to happen. Whereas if you're just winging it and you look at your portfolio and you're down 10, you're thinking, could I go down 20, down 30, what may happen next? But if you have this done for you, you have a much better idea of what to expect in that kind of market.
Well, I'll tell you, for the last couple of weeks, I've paid probably a little bit more attention because I go back 2 weeks ago and Dan was saying, okay, this is a little bump. It's probably going to do this, probably going to do that as far as dropping 5, dropping 10. Don't panic. It'll be okay. You know, it's just the price of dates in Greece kind of stuff. And then as we had that show, and then that next week did pretty much exactly what you said it was going to do. So we come back last week, kind of have the same conversation.
Right.
And I do think people listening to this show that really would have paid attention to it, while everybody else is you know, their hair is on fire, the listeners of this show should have known. It's like, nah, you know, kind of said that's what was going to happen.
And the market has rebounded very, very well this week. We had 5 up days this week out of 5, which is kind of hard to beat.
That.
Pretty consistent week and a very good week. And the market has rebounded now, and it's close, getting not quite back up to where it was on January 26th, but it's rebounded quite well. And I put several million dollars into the market this week. I can tell you, new money that came into my office in the last few weeks. I've been holding it, waiting for the market to start to recover. And so I put several million dollars into the market this week, and hopefully it'll work out well for our investors. I think it will, but I wanted to have some confidence, a little bit more stability with the markets. The volatility has dropped off quite a bit in the market. I shouldn't say it's dropped off. It's stabilized. It's not spiking like it was. It had gone from 6 to 12 to 25 in about 2 weeks, and it closed this week at about 26%. So it's only went up 1% this week, which is very nominal compared to the 100% increases we'd seen before.
So why do you have a couple of weeks of some volatility,
right,
and then all of a sudden it just kind of calmed down for a minute?
Because there are always a certain percent of people who are going to be scared by a certain percentage drop in the market, say a 10% drop in the market, like what we saw basically with this move from January 26th on. And there's a certain percentage of the people that are going to, then we have what's called a shakeout or blow off. They're going to get scared by this and they're going to panic and they're going to run for the exits. The rest of the people generally will not sell and will not panic at that point. And so the people that are really nervous, that are on the edge of their seat all the time, that panic easily, they blew out of their positions. I mean, that's what we saw, was they got out of their positions and they're done. Now that's over and done with. The other people who are on the sidelines like me with cash realized this is a good opportunity to buy some stocks. So we stepped in and started ponying up money. Obviously, a lot more people than me, but with a lot more money also, ponying up a lot of money and started putting money into the market, and realized there was no real catalyst for a further downward movement to the market at this point.
Well, and something we talked about a couple of weeks ago, some of that sell-off that was interpreted as the sky is falling, it really was just people selling their stuff and taking the profit off of it.
Absolutely.
It wasn't a panic move. It was a very planned move. And let's make our profit and go to the house.
And that's exactly what we did. In fact, I changed a lot of the mutual funds that I had been using from a year earlier to new funds that are getting better performance for my clients. And I did it after January 31st intentionally, because I could realize long-term capital gains by doing that, because I had to have them a year and a day to get long-term capital gains. And so I switched out a lot of my positions to other positions just for that purpose. And that's what we're seeing people do in this scenario also. But really, it comes back to confidence. Once the market stabilizes, people tend to have a little bit more optimistic thought about where the market's going, and they quit panicking and quit selling. I think that's what we saw this past week, was people realized that the news that caused the market to drop was actually good news as far as the economy goes. It was good news, strong jobs numbers, strong wage numbers, increases in hourly wages, things like that. And yes, the Fed's going to raise rates as a result of all this, but it's a lot better than having a bad economy that's tanking. You know, it's much better than having a recession or something like that. This is a much better possibility. I'd rather have this one all day long than a 2008 economy. Let's put it that way.
All right. So we are 6 weeks into this year. What's the status of the market now? Up or down? Where are we?
It's at about break even right now. It was up quite a bit in January and then dropped at the end of January. Now we're at about break even right now for the year. And we're heading, you know, further into the year. We'll see how things go this next week. If last week was any indication, last week was very promising. Because after the weeks we'd had before that, you would have expected one up day and then one down day and one up day and then one down day. That's what I expected. I certainly didn't expect five up days in a row,
right?
Which is very unusual. And that's a lot of strength in the market. That's a tremendous amount of strength. That means there's a lot of money coming back into the market is what that means. People are pouring money into the market left and right now.
Would it be fair to say the people that sold took their profits? Now they're back doing some value buying. I mean, because some stocks are down, might be a good time to buy some stuff.
Well, what I think also what you're seeing is people are getting squeezed. You're seeing people that got out of the market that are realizing that was a bad move. And now they're trying to get back into the market and they're chasing the market and they're driving it back up is what I think is happening actually right now also.
Interesting stuff. All right. So Dan is giving away a book like he does every week. The book this week is called The Little Book of Big Dividends. And maybe we can get you to explain what dividend stocks are as opposed to, what's the other one, value or
growth stocks.
Okay, so we'll talk a little bit about that. And then also this week you get a free report called the Portfolio Stress Test. Is your portfolio ready to weather a storm? Well, you can find out. All that's free. Just call Dan's office at 918-398-8387. Be sure and leave your name and address so they know where to send all that good stuff. Again, 918-398-8387. You're listening to Money Talk on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Oh my, the king. Welcome back to Money Talk here on News 102.3 AM 740 KRMG. Coming up here in a little over 8 minutes, your top stories in the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center and your forecast from Fox 23. We will have another cool down this week. Stay tuned. Coming up next hour, Fox News Sunday. If you've got questions for us, you can text us at 95920. Mr. Dan Witham, host of Money Talk, gives away books like they're candy. What are we giving away this week,
sir? That's right. This week, The Little Book of Big Dividends, a safe formula for guaranteed returns. Dividend stocks have always been very popular for people. We will also send you a copy or a one-page questionnaire for you to fill out and send back to us for your free stress test report on your portfolio to show what it would do in 120 different economic scenarios. That's more than I could even think of, to be honest. That's a lot of scenarios, Russell. I went through that. I've got the list here in front of me. It's an incredible list of scenarios.
Okay, so I'd be interested to hear some highlights, but go ahead and tell them
how to get the book. Yeah, the number for the book and the free report is 918-398-8387, 918-398-8387. Just leave us your name and your address when you get our voicemail. We'll send you the one-page questionnaire, and all it asks is, you know, put your name at the top and then put what your positions are and what percent of your portfolio they are. That's all we need. And then send it back to us. You can email it to us, fax it to us, U.S. Postal, slip it through the door slot. We don't care.
And, you know, brother, if you don't have that information, like what your, you know, where your money is, and
yes,
that, you should probably be looking into that.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, there's two types of risk as far as my industry is concerned, as far as investing in the market goes. We look at two different types of risk. One is what's called market risk or systematic risk, and the other one is non-systematic risk or company risk, you know, what your portfolio has. And that's what this one really addresses. It shows, well, if the market does X, here's what your portfolio is going to do. If the market does Y, here's what your portfolio should show. And here's what you need to look at. And the nice part is, as I mentioned earlier, is it goes down to the individual component, the individual holding. So if you have John Deere stock and the economy goes in the tank, it tells you what your John Deere is probably going to do. If you have an oil stock and the economy goes in the tank, it tells you what that's probably going to do. And the nice part is this program, when you change one variable, it automatically changes a whole bunch of other variables. Because if oil prices go up, we know that that's going to affect the gross domestic product. We know it's going to affect a lot of different things. And this takes all that into account, not just one variable, but it actually has like 20 or 30 different variables that it takes into account when it puts out this report. And I was really fascinated with the report. I've been looking at it and playing with it for a couple of days now. But it just kind of gives you an idea of what to expect in a variety of scenarios, and it gives you the ability to somewhat forecast, you know, what your portfolio is going to do. Now, if we get into a terrible, an 08 economy, you're probably going to have bad news. It's probably not going to be pretty for your portfolio, as we find out, for people who live through it. But what if we go back to a 1987 scenario, which is one of the scenarios in here, when we had a 20% decline in the market in one day? Well, that's kind of hard to predict. That's kind of hard to foresee for anybody, any economic advisor or financial advisor to foresee. It's very difficult to foresee something like that. Or we could have a scenario like 2000 through 2002, where the market dropped 42%, but it took 3 years to get there, which is what happened back then. That was the tech bubble when it burst and all that stuff happened. And the nice thing about this program is I can also go in and I can pick any time frame, Russell, that I want. I can say, I want to know what it did from 1981 to 1983. I want to know what this would have done in that scenario, given dates, whatever it is. Or I can say, I put oil prices at $120 and I put interest rates at 10 instead of at, you know, 3, like where they are now, 2 or 3 where they are now. What happens to my portfolio? I can change the levers and move everything around. The variables, basically, I can change them and affect the outcome in a variety of different ways. And you were asking about what some of the scenarios.
Yeah, so there's 120 scenarios that you can run through this program. So what are some of the more interesting ones?
The more interesting ones, the debt cliff, which we had back in, I think, 2012 or 13, when the U.S. was on the brink of defaulting. When was that? Maybe it was 14 that I'm thinking of. Am I right, Steve?
Yes.
Okay. Past crashes, financial crisis, the Fed's stress test, which is the Fed has said that they want financial companies to stress test their portfolios now, and we're required to do this to see what happens if we go through an 08 scenario again, because we found in 08 that the economy took a shock, but the financial sector of the economy took a much bigger shock, a much bigger hit for a whole plethora of reasons. And then we also had a liquidity crisis. They couldn't get credit. They couldn't get money. They couldn't borrow money that they needed desperately at that time. And so that was a rather unique scenario, but that's one of the scenarios in here. S&P valuation, if the S&P drops 10%, if the S&P drops 20%, or if the S&P drops 30%, what happens to your portfolio? Those are all realistic possibilities, which we've seen happen in the recent past. As a matter of fact, past crashes, we have the 1987, the 2008, 2001, 2002. We have a deflationary scenario, which is unlikely but possible, like a 1930s. This is what we had in the 30s.
Well, you know what was interesting back in the 08, 09 days is the government's pumping bazillions of dollars into the economy.
Yes.
Then the banks wouldn't turn around and loan it.
Correct.
You know, I mean, the banks could make more money not loaning to consumers than loaning to consumers. And so the money just dried up. And who'd that impact? You know, small business. You know,
yes.
The engine that keeps the jobs going. So, you know, when you can make more money as a bank, and when you can make more money not lending money, there's kind of a flaw in the system there.
Well, we had a tremendous credit squeeze back then. A seizure is more like what it was. It was a complete seizure of the system. And then the Fed changed some of the rules, which Steve is referring to here, where they said to the banks that before 2008, the Fed did not pay interest on deposits with the feds from the banks when they have money on deposit. After 08, they did. They started paying them interest. So the banks took all that money and said, we'll just put it on deposit with the Fed. We'll get credit for it, and we have no risk. And so that's what Steve's referring to. And that's exactly what they did, was they put that money with the Fed. They didn't lend it out, which is why they were given the money in the first place, obviously to try to stimulate the economy, to get things moving. That was the intent of Congress, I would say, wouldn't you?
Well, that's exactly right. And as a guy who does long-term care planning for people, trying to get their estates in a position to where if they have to apply for nursing home benefits that they'll qualify. You know, we talk to banks and financial institutions and you know, people have cash, and we got to deal with that cash. Is it accountable asset or not accountable asset? And I'm sitting there talking to one guy, and I'm just getting this blank look. And I said, well, this is how we can help keep some money in your institution, as a matter of fact. And finally I go, wait a minute, you don't care, do you? He goes, nope. It just never occurred to me. They didn't care what happened to these senior citizens' money, because they're not going to loan it out. They don't care. And I just, man, this is messed up.
Well, it is sad. It is truly sad, yeah. Some of the other things that are in here is, Allison may be interested in this one, there's a cryptomania crisis. What if the cryptocurrencies cause the markets to crash? Which I don't think is very likely to happen, but it's always a possibility. One of the things, what if gold crashes and drops below $1,000 for an ounce?
Oh, that could never happen.
Well,
it's never been worth zero.
Right. Well,
the biggest part of that is Gold Rush would go off the air, and I can't have that.
Well, and one of the things on here, which is very important to people in this area, is what if we have an oil crash or an oil spike? And we all know that affects Oklahoma more than most states, obviously the economy here more than most states, but how could it also affect your portfolio? And this is something that I think people in Oklahoma should be concerned about, because not only does it, is their livelihood tied to it, but their many people's portfolios are tied to it.
And
well.
Our state economy is.
And our state economy is definitely tied to it. Absolutely. But anyhow, if you want the report, just give me a call.
All right. Very cool. And he's willing to send you that report, the portfolio stress test, absolutely free, and a book called The Little Book of Big Dividends. Not going to cost you a penny, just going to cost you about 2 minutes to give him a call at 918-398-8387. Do be sure to take some of that 2 minutes to leave your name and address so, you know, they know where to send the book and that portfolio stress test. Again, that number is 918-398-8387. You're listening to Money Talk on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG.
One, two, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10,
well, it's about 10:30, 5 o'clock. Welcome back to Money Talk here on News 102.3 AM 740 KRMG. Coming up in less than a half an hour, stay tuned for Fox News Sunday and the guest this week, Mr. Rush Limbaugh, L. Rushbow on Fox News Sunday. That's coming up after the news at noon. If you've got questions for us, you can text us at 95920. And I've got a question for Dan Witham. What book are we giving away today, sir?
Well, thank you. The book is Little Book of Big Dividends, A Safe Formula for Guaranteed Returns. Interesting book, and it is a very well-written book, I will admit. It shows you a explicit dividend strategy on how to find and buy and trade dividend stocks. And we'll send you a free copy of it and our one-page questionnaire to get your free risk analysis of your portfolio, your individual portfolio, what you actually own, not just a generic one, but the one you actually own, the stocks and the mutual funds you own. And it's free. The report is free. There's no cost for it whatsoever. And I encourage you to get it no matter what. You really have nothing to lose by getting a copy of this report. It, just give me a call at 918-398-8387. 918-398-8387. Just leave your name and your address when you get our voicemail. We will send this out to you, the one-page questionnaire, for you to fill out and send back to us. And we also have in here, Russell, some interesting things, some of the scenarios that it covers, the report, the stress test on your portfolio. U.S. coastal exodus. What if people move out of the West and East Coasts because of taxes? Because the tax plan, the new tax plan changed their... is not advantageous to
so
them.
So we're not talking about the ocean levels rising. We're talking about taxes rising.
We're talking about taxes.
And tax level rising.
Having high state income taxes, basically, is what they're referring to here. Because it
they are pretty bad in
right,
some
and
of
the
those
new
states.
Ones, the new tax law penalizes states that have high tax and income tax rates. Basically, it doesn't give them as much of a deduction as lower tax states like Oklahoma have.
Well, that's why Rush is in Florida, left New York for that very reason. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. But one of the things on here is also is inflation. Remember that we haven't heard this term in a while, stagflation, back from the 70s, when we had high inflation and nothing, no growth whatsoever in the economy at the same time.
Peanut boy.
Yes. Okay. And then we have rising interest rates, excuse me, past corrections. 2011 was when the U.S. credit was downgraded. We have a China recession on here. We have Greece and Europe, Steve, Brexit.
Do we care?
Well...
Only if the market cares.
Yeah,
I slept through Brexit, so I think I missed that whole thing. It was over so fast.
They're still fighting over all that. That's not over yet.
When that was going on, I'm not kidding. Every week we would talk about it, and it was just like, whatever, you know. But on the news, it was like, oh, my God.
Not as exciting as English cuisine.
Oh, my dear. So,
those eels.
Yes, I went there.
All right.
Oh, did you have eels?
I don't. No, I mean, I went there as far as talking about their cuisine. I've not been to Great Britain. I'd like to. But no, I would not be eating eels. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dan.
Meat pies.
We have global conflicts on the list. Korea, Syria, among other places. Iran conflict, which we have one of those. But it's been a long time. That was, what, 76? Somewhere around there.
In Iran?
Yeah. When they took the hostages. I'm thinking.
79. Oh, that was 79.
79. Okay.
79 into 80.
I was close. Okay. And I was overseas at the time. That was very interesting. I was living in South America at the time. Thank goodness I wasn't in the Middle East, at least. I was in South America, where people weren't too concerned about Americans doing whatever they did back then. So I was an exchange student in Chile.
Well, since we're talking about that part of the world, I just want to throw in a plug for this movie that's just out, 12 Strong.
Yes.
Unbelievable movie. I mean, okay. And I have a buddy who was somewhat involved in that, and I wrote him this morning on Facebook, and I'm like, yo, dog, I mean, you, I'm like, really, you know General Dostum, who's... main character in the movie. He's like, yeah, man, he's my boy. You know, it's all. So it's just kind of cool. The world is so small that you can actually have these conversations, guys that were there. And he says that that's exactly how it was. So, I mean, I really encourage people to go see that movie. It is right. Fantastic.
I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully I get to see it. One of the other things on here that, on the list of scenarios is global conflicts for a terror attack in the United States, like we saw on 9/11. We've had that happen. We've had the, it has the U.S. housing economy heating up, the U.S. housing economy tanking, going the other way, of course, and dysfunctional government. Can you imagine that?
It's kind of a redundancy.
When do we not have a dysfunctional government? Right. It seems like whether at the state or the federal level, it doesn't matter. It just seems to be constantly that that's the case, I think. That's been my experience. Anyway, they have Trump Care on here. What if Trump gets rid of Obamacare but doesn't replace it, which is almost where we're at now. We're pretty close to where we're at, I'd say. We're heading down that road, it appears. And I don't think they're going to replace it. I don't think they are going to be able to replace it. From what I've seen.
They've tried.
Yeah, I mean, they've tried two or three times.
But they just haven't
failed.
Come up with a plan that's
right.
Hadn't gotten rid of it, really.
So, I mean, well,
pieces.
Parts of it.
Right. Parts of it, right.
I think
right.
they're getting rid of it slowly, dismantling it is kind of the way they're doing it, or what seems to be the intent, at least right now, from what I've seen. The we have the tax cut scenario. We have the CPI growth. All kinds of different scenarios in this program, which are very interesting and all, of course, have different outcome. We also have an immigration skills-based boom that says, what if we change immigration policies to allow immigration based on education and or skills, I guess is the best way to describe that. If we were to change our policy to bring in certain people that have certain skills, certain
But we have that now. I mean, that's the whole point.
Skills, to agree we have that now, to agree we don't. To agree we have a lottery.
I've sponsored some people coming in. So, I mean, if you have certain skills, but part of that equation is you have to play like you check to see if some Americans have that same skill. And
well, and I, you know, I'm just going to throw this out there.
Okay.
We also have to have people who are willing to come in and pick the lettuce.
Yes.
And Americans are not happy with those jobs, don't like the pay, don't like the working conditions, won't do it. And that's, and we, you know, we need that labor too.
I will tell you, you and I are on the same page, because I've said for years, well, you know, they take jobs away from Americans, you know. I'll tell you what. Here's what the law should be. Any American who wants to go out to the strawberry fields and the cabbage patches and says, I want that guy's job, you can have it. You can have first priority to be working in those damn fields, picking that stuff, breaking your back, trying to raise a family. I will give Americans first shot at that job all day long. I'm pretty sure that's a short line.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's a short line.
Yeah, in Oklahoma in 100-degree weather, I don't think I want to be out there picking anything.
Nope.
Doesn't look like fun. Does not look like fun at all. Anyhow, there's lots of different scenarios in this program, and if you can come up with a scenario that's not in here and you want me to run it for you, I'll run it for you. If you want to say see what happens if interest rates go to 10% on that, what happens to your housing stock, I can show you. It can show you what will happen. It's probably not going to be pretty, I can tell you. But there's lots of different scenarios we can run if GDP, you know, goes negative and drops by 1% a year or 2% a year. Back in 08, it dropped by about 3. I think we went negative 3 in that range, which was is pretty dramatic.
That's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad. Yes, yeah. That is pretty bad. But it can happen, as we know. It has happened before. So anyhow, there's a lot of different scenarios. If you want me to run the report for you, I'll do that. Just call me at 918-398-8387. That's 918-398-8387. Just leave us your name and your address, and we will run it for you. We'll send you the information to have you get it back to us. We'll run the report for you for free.
And something we had happen this week that I really hadn't thought about. I mean, we do have a Facebook page, Money Talk Radio Show, and we had a lady order a book off of the Facebook thing. So I guess if you're okay with that, they can do that too.
Just sure.
Money Talk Radio Show on Facebook. Put in your stuff. You'll still get the book.
That's up to Steve because he runs the page. Dan doesn't know how to do that stuff.
It's typing.
I'm not going to claim to be the tech guru by any means.
I know you can type. I've gotten emails from you.
Steve's the master of the Facebook world. So okay. I think he lives on Facebook, I swear. So.
Well, it just didn't occur to me somebody would do that. I thought it was very cool that they did.
Do you read that stuff at night when you're in bed?
Like, and I read it all the time.
Social media?
I think so.
I see you on there a lot.
Yeah.
Putting up pictures of your lovely fiance, Instagram.
Well, I mean, that's
sitting over there laughing at you.
Right? Yeah. She's worth it. She's worth it right there, actually.
Yeah. We're gonna have an intervention for Steve with Facebook.
No, but I don't get the Twitter thing, and I don't do the Instagram thing. But Facebook, yeah, you know, they just keep putting me up to an IV, and I just keep going on that. You know,
he likes that. He likes it. How much time we got?
We got about 3 minutes.
Okay. The misguided beliefs of financial advisors. I found a study done by some people at the Indiana University. Isn't that where Mark Cuban went?
I think that's where he went to school.
Anyhow, they said that advisors not only pick bad investments for their clients, they pick them for themselves too.
Oh, no. That's Freakonomics stuff there, man.
And they invest in them themselves. And they also said, Steve, you'll find this is interesting, that a lot of advisors' choices of investments for their clients are driven not by returns, but by commissions.
No.
Who would have ever thought that this would be the cause?
And there's your Freakonomics.
I am crushed.
Who would have thought there was an economic motive for the choices they were pitching to their clients?
Does not happen with Dan Witham and LPL Financial, right?
We don't do it that way. We do flat fee, and that's why I don't do it that way. Now, Department of Labor has some new rules that have come out this year. They're trying to change this. So far, the insurance companies have managed to wiggle around this rule, but I think eventually they're going to be subject to the rule where they're trying to make where compensation is even across all products for the advisor, which I think is to the benefit of the client. I think ultimately that will benefit the client. I think it's a good idea. Of course, the insurance companies are fighting this tooth and nail, because the only reason people will sell annuities is because they make five times as much as they do on another product. Because if they have to sell an annuity and it pays the same as something that's actually good for you, well, they're probably not going to do that. You know, they're probably going to quit selling annuities. And that's bad for insurance companies, of course, because that's their bread and butter.
If you can't make money, you ain't going to sell it.
Well, that's the thing.
Not many Pintos being sold these days.
That's right. But, well, they're still selling annuities, so I don't know about that. They're still out there peddling those, the financial equivalent.
You know, the guy used to sell Pintos and Yugos go, man, that annuity thing, maybe that's the way to go.
That's right.
You know?
That's the ticket. It's the new Pinto is what it is, I guess you could say. But that's my opinion for what it's worth. I'm just not fond of them. And, you know, they pay up to 10% commissions, which is a ridiculous amount, in my opinion. And the clients are locked into them for, you know, 15, 16 years, some as long as that. And it's just... They just don't do well. They tend to not do well for the clients. So I would much rather see a level playing field where every product pays the same. And I think that's the way the industry's headed. Department of Labor is pushing them down that road. I hope they'll get the insurance companies roped into it to where they have to abide by it. As of now, they don't. They've found a way around it right now. So.
Well, if you'd like a free copy of today's book, The Little Book of Big Dividends, call Dan's office at 918-398-8387. He'll also send you a one-page little form you can fill out, and he'll send you back a portfolio stress test. How would your portfolio weather the storms of, I don't know, a war with China or North Korea or maybe a big drop in the stock market? He'll tell you. You can get all that information free. His number, 918-398-8387. Do be sure and leave your name and address. More Money Talk after the break on News 102.3 KRMG.
Give me the D to your ranch. I'm gonna throw you on the railroad track. And then they grab it. And then...
Welcome back to Money Talk here on News 102.3 AM 740 KRMG. My name's Russell Mills. Coming up here in about 9 minutes, your top stories of the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center and your forecast from Fox 23. Stay tuned. Coming up next hour, Fox News Sunday with special guest Rush Limbaugh. If you got questions for the guys today, you can text us at 95920. Dan Witham, giving away books. What do we got?
That's right. The Little Book of Big Dividends, A Safe Formula for Guaranteed Returns. You can get this excellent book on dividend investing and our one-page questionnaire to fill out for your own stress test risk analysis of your portfolio under 120 different scenarios. It is a very extensive report that shows you what each one of your positions is predicted to do under different scenarios. And it's free. The report is free. Just give me a call if you want it done. 918-398-8387. 918-398-8387. Just leave us your name and your address, and we'll send you a one-page questionnaire to fill out with your information and send it back to us, and we'll get you the report for no cost and no obligation whatsoever. And I'm excited about this report. Steve, have you ever heard the phrase? And it's not a math question, don't worry. He's got that look on his face like this is going to be math.
Thank goodness.
Have you ever heard the phrase, two heads are better than one?
I have.
Okay. I use two or three of my models in all of my portfolios. I blend them in different ratios depending on the risk orientation of the client. More aggressive models, of course, are overweighted for more aggressive clients and more conservative for more conservative clients,
right.
Like target volatility. Why do I use multiple models? Because we don't know what we don't know, right? The question I'm asked...
You don't know what you don't know, that's right.
The question I'm asked most often as an advisor, Russell, I can tell you this every day, somebody asks me this, what's the market going to do this year?
If people, only you knew,
yeah. Right? Right. And that's kind of what my answer is. My answer is, I don't know, and it doesn't matter. I've always said I don't know because I don't know. And anybody that tells you they do know is lying to you, I think. They're being dishonest. Now, they have a 50-50 shot of getting it right, but they still don't know. They don't know what it's going to do. And, you know, Bill Sherman, who's one of my favorite advocates, and yep. We've had him on the show before a while back, publisher of the Sherman Sheet, which is the publication I subscribe to and which some of my models come from, actually. He said that I asked him once why people listen to CNBC and Mark Faber and people like that and all these people on Fox Business News and CNBC that predict what the market's going to do. And he said the reason is we all seek to know the unknowable. We all want to know the answer to what's the market going to do this year? What's this going to do? What's that going to do? And so we put faith in these people, even though we know in the back of our minds they don't know what's going to happen. We want to think that they know so we can somehow glean some knowledge from that and have an idea of what the market's going to do. Well, I can tell you that Mark Faber, Steve, has predicted 10 of the last market crashes that did not happen.
Well, that's not a great record there, is it?
He's 10 for 10. He's predicted one every single year since 08. Every single year he's predicted one.
And one has yet failed to materialize. So really he's 0 for 10.
Yeah, he's 0 for 10. So is Glenn Beck, by the way. Glenn Beck's the exact same way. And they predict every year that the economy is going to tank, we're going to go into a depression worse than the Great Depression, and all this bad stuff's going to happen. And they've been wrong every single time, and yet people still listen to him. They still trot him out on CNBC almost every day and have him on there. And, you know, it's just, you just have to wonder why people listen to them. I don't even pay attention to them. I don't turn on CNBC during the day.
The cowbell.
I guess,
it's
yeah.
It's the cowbell.
Okay, they like it. More cowbell? Is that right? Okay. Anyhow, we found out in the last few weeks that there is risk in the market, as we have seen. The risk was always there. The risk was hiding before. Last year, you know, we mentioned that the S&P's volatility was around 6%, you know, for most of last year. It was real low. And then it jumped up at the end of January and then jumped up again at the beginning of February, went from 6 to 12 to 25. And so many people just like to roll along like the risk isn't going to come back and hit them. But I want to talk specifically about company risk here for a minute. We mentioned at the beginning of the show company risk versus market risk. Company risk you can diversify away by having a well-diversified portfolio or reduce your risk at least significantly. I want to talk about one company risk in particular. Let's say you have AB or XYZ stock and they make widgets, Steve, and they're the leader in the market and you buy XYZ stock, right? Because they're the leader in the market.
Right.
And then along comes ABC and ABC finds a better way to make the widget. They make a better widget. So they start selling their widgets and eventually they replace XYZ as the better company, the leader of the market, right?
Right.
We've seen happen in many different industries. And so your stock probably doesn't do so well in that scenario, right? Your XYZ stock?
Kind of going down.
Well, there's a company that comes to mind here that reminds me very vividly of this example that we studied in one of my classes at school. That was Blockbuster. We talked about Blockbuster Entertainment.
When was the last time? Speaking of going down.
Yeah. When were you in a Blockbuster store last time, Steve? When was the last time you saw one? Probably 10 years ago.
I'd say 10 years ago, yeah.
Well, they were once the leader in the market, you know, in DVDs. They owned the market for DVD rentals, basically. They were it. Then along came this little startup company called Netflix that we know about. And they said, we're going to mail you your DVDs. We're not going to have you come to the store. We're going to mail them to you. Of course, Blockbuster thought, well, nobody's going to want that. Why would you wait 2 days for a DVD when you can have it come to the store and get it today? Well, we know who's around now and who's not, right?
That's right.
Obviously, Netflix was the winner of that battle. And all they did was change the delivery method of the same product, the DVD. They didn't really change the DVD any. They just changed the way you got it.
That's right.
And I was an early subscriber to Netflix. I can tell you I've had it for almost since they began as a company. And I loved it back then because you didn't have to go anywhere. You didn't have to do anything. They just send you the DVDs. It only took a day or two to get it to you, which I thought was very nice.
And then they added streaming, and that was the last coffin in the nail.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't get around that one. But I think what Blockbuster, you know, I think it's easy for companies to go, what business are we in? And it sounds very easy. But when you really sit down and analyze it, sometimes we really don't know what business we're in. Blockbuster would say we're probably in the business of renting this or that, and Netflix thought they were in the business of something else. That's what they said about Polaroid. Polaroid thought they were in the business of taking pictures. No, everybody else said we're in the business of imaging. And there's a difference. So, you know, it's got to know what you know.
That's right. Absolutely right. I'll leave you. I know we're about out of time, Russell. I'll give this quote real quick. Mark Twain quote, one of my favorites. Do not try to teach the mule to dance. It wastes your time and upsets the mule. I love that quote. I can't control what you do, no matter how much I try. You can still derail our plans. You got to stick to your plan, no matter what. When all else fails, stick to your plan.
Plan the work, work the plan.
Work the plan.
All right, there you go. All right, well, we are about out of time, but remind you, if you'd like a free copy of today's book, The Little Book of Big Dividends, call Dan's office at 918-398-8387. Do be sure and leave your name and address so Dan knows where to send the book. Or I guess you could look for the Money Talk Radio Show on Facebook, and Steve will send you the book. One way or another, you can get that book. And then you can get a free portfolio stress test. Find out how your portfolio would weather certain kinds of storms. Again, the phone number 918-398-8387. Do be sure and leave your name and address. You've been listening to Money Talk here on KRMG. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11. Up next, your top stories, the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center. I'm Russell Mills. Have a great Sunday, everyone.
Just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.